You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to our first of three podcasts on breast cancer hosted by Med Learning Group. This three-part series titled Tailoring Treatment for Patients with HR-Positive, HER2-Negative Metastatic Breast Cancer, Examining the Role of Current and Emerging Endocrine Therapies, is geared towards members of a multidisciplinary care team who manage breast cancer, including medical oncologists, advanced practice providers, and pharmacists in both academic and community settings. In this episode, we'll be talking about endocrine therapies for HR-positive, HER2-negative metastatic breast cancer and their sequencing in clinical practice. My name is Debbie, and I will be the host of today's podcast. Joining me today is Dr. Sharmila Atal, a breast medical oncologist hematologist with Alliance Cancer Specialists, which is a U.S. oncology network in Philadelphia, PA. For 18 years, Dr. Atal has been an advocate for innovative personal care techniques and has been regularly involved in the advancements in breast cancer treatment and women's health. Dr. Atal, welcome to our discussion.
Thank you, Debbie. It's a pleasure being here.
I'd like you to take a moment to introduce yourself and talk to us a little bit about how long you have been a caregiver in women's health and breast cancer and how you decided to choose that field.
Well, as you mentioned about me, Debbie, thank you for that. I have been working in this field for more than 18 years. You know, my passion for patient-centered care drove me towards breast cancer care. You know, this field has evolved significantly with cutting-edge research, several therapies to personalize treatment. And in addition, it also helps me build long-term relationships with my patients and provide them not just cancer care, but in addition, like emotional support. I strongly advocate for women's health and help them empower themselves.
I'd like to focus today's talk on HR-positive, HER2-negative metastatic breast cancer, and in particular, treatments for this type of advanced cancer. How do you address progression of HR-positive, HER2-negative metastatic breast cancer in patients receiving adjuvant endocrine therapy?
Well, Debbie, this kind of breast cancer, if they have had progression of their disease while on adjuvant therapy, are referred to as being endocrine-resistant disease. So there is an option of treatment available for such patients, and I favor using this triplet regimen. And this is based on the results of INAVO 120 clinical trial that showed that combination of inavolisib, a novel agent, with palbociclib and fulvestrin in patients who progressed during or shortly after completion of adjuvant endocrine therapy for hormone receptor positive, HER2-negative metastatic breast cancer and have not received any other prior systemic therapy in this setting. So the results of this study had shown significant improvement in progression-free survival. Recently, overall survival was presented at ASCO 2025, which showed improvement. So most of the relevant subgroups showed benefit from this regimen, regardless of whether they were pre or postmenopausal, regardless of whether they had visceral disease or not, or number of sites of disease. And after a median follow-up of more than 30 months, median overall survival was 34 months in the group that received inavolisib compared to just 27 months in the placebo group. And that means there is at least a 33% reduction in the risk of death. So more than 65% of patients who are receiving inavolisib are alive, and as compared to just about more than 50% in the placebo group. So the results of this study really delayed the median time to starting chemotherapy for these patients, which was, I think, about 35 months as compared to just 12 months in the placebo group. So notably, hyperglycemia was one of the adverse reactions in those that received inavolisib at more than 60% of all grades, but treatment discontinuation rates was extremely low. I think delaying initiation of chemotherapy is what really matters, and this is an option of treatment for such group of patients.
Let's talk about a patient scenario. Say we have someone who developed metastatic breast cancer and received therapy with a CDK4/6 inhibitor. She later develops progression of disease, maybe say, let's say 18 months later. What would be the next choice of treatment?
You know, approximately 70% of all breast cancers are hormone receptor positive and HER2 negative. So although activating ESR1 mutations are rare at the time of diagnosis of metastatic breast cancer, they emerge during first-line treatment with aromatase inhibitors and on CDK4/6 inhibitors in almost about 40% of patients, and this in turn causes disease progression. Now, ESR1 mutations are detected on liquid biopsies with ctDNA testing, and approximately 6 to 12 months prior to knowing clinical progression of their disease. Now, ESR1 mutations, if present, are associated with poor response to aromatase inhibitor and have shorter progression-free survival as well as overall survival. Oral SERDs are an option of treatment to overcome resistance or ESR1 mutation. SERDs bind to estrogen receptor, causing it to be degraded or downregulated, and thereby it reduces its activity. There are several oral SERDs in clinical trials, and one of them being approved for clinical practice, such as elacestrant, camizestrant, giredestrant, imlunestrant, and so on. Now, ESR1 mutation, it serves as a mechanism of acquired resistance to endocrine therapy by altering the endocrine resistance function and promotes progression. So when you have ESR1 mutation, we know such cancers don't do well on aromatase inhibitors. So if somebody progresses on an AI or aromatase inhibitor and CDK4/6 inhibitor as first line of therapy, I would look for ESR1 mutation on liquid next generation sequencing or ctDNA sequencing and look for other targetable mutations such as PIK3CA mutations or ESR1 mutation. If there is presence of ESR1 mutation, elacestrant, which is an oral SERD, is approved in this setting based on the results of EMERALD study. So elacestrant showed a 45% reduction in the risk of progression or death as compared to standard of care in those patients that had ESR1 mutation. So there is more benefit in patients who had been on prior CDK4/6 inhibitor for longer duration from receiving elacestrant, Debbie.
How do you address the clinical utility of ctDNA assays to detect and treat emerging resistance in HR-positive, HER2-negative metastatic breast cancer?
Well, in patients who are responding to CDK4/6 inhibitor and aromatase inhibitor, if they do develop ESR1 mutation, and this is being detected on ctDNA testing, changing to a novel oral SERD called camizestrant instead of aromatase inhibitor resulted in a 56% reduction in the risk of disease progression or death. And these are results based on phase 3 SERENA trial, SERENA 6 trial, presented by Dr. Turner at ASCO 2025. So this study showed that switching from a first-line treatment with an aromatase inhibitor to an oral SERD called camizestrant, if there was detection of ESR1 mutation, while continuing on CDK4/6 inhibitor, it prolonged their progression-free survival by more than 16 months in such patients with hormone receptor-positive, HER2-negative metastatic breast cancer. So this is first-of-a-kind study where utilizing ctDNA in the management of patients was proven to be beneficial. In this study, median progression-free survival also improved from 9.2 months on those that were on oral SERD as compared to continuing with aromatase inhibitor. So this is possibly a new way of treatment strategy in order to optimize outcomes of first-line treatment and also overcome resistance mutations before they cause disease progression. In this study, these patients underwent ctDNA testing through their blood for ESR1 mutation probably every 2 to 3 months, and also at the same time had imaging studies done as well.
Say a patient is on a given combination, say a SERD and a CDK4/6 inhibitor. When disease progresses on this particular regimen, what would you do next? Would you switch to a SERD, the CDK4/6 inhibitor, maybe both?
Well, combination of oral SERD with a CDK4/6 inhibitor was looked at in EMBER-3 trial that was presented at San Antonio in 2024. So in this study, patients who had disease progression on an AI plus CDK4/6 inhibitor as first-line therapy were randomized to receiving imlunestrant and oral SERD versus standard of care endocrine therapy. However, after randomization began, a third arm was added comparing to the combination of imlunestrant plus a CDK4/6 inhibitor called abemaciclib. So clearly, imlunestrant did better than standard of care endocrine therapy in those patients that had ESR1 mutation. However, the combination of imlunestrant with abemaciclib did improve progression-free survival by greater margin, 9.4 months, regardless of ESR1 mutation in these patients as compared to an oral SERD alone. This combination of oral SERD and a CDK4/6 inhibitor is currently not yet approved for use in clinical practice. However, at this time, probably changing a CDK4/6 inhibitor or the endocrine partner would be the way to go about at disease progression.
How do you sequence treatment in HR-positive, HER2-negative metastatic breast cancer?
So in endocrine-sensitive metastatic breast cancer patients that are experiencing relapse more than 12 months after completion of their adjuvant endocrine therapy or diagnosed as de novo breast cancer, the first line of treatment is aromatase inhibitor with a CDK4/6 inhibitor. However, if the relapse is more than 12 months of therapy, based on the presence of targetable mutations, would then choose the next line of treatment. Say, for instance, if they had presence of PIK3CA or AKT or P10 mutations, then they are treated with fulvestrant plus alpelisib or capivasertib as the next line of treatment. On the other hand, if they had presence of ESR1 mutation, oral SERD such as elacestrant is an option of treatment. If they do have germline BRCA1 or 2 mutations, PARP inhibitors are approved options of treatment. If they do not carry any of these mutations, perhaps rechallenging them with another CDK4/6 inhibitor and possibly changing the endocrine partner is also an option of treatment. If they further progress with their metastatic disease, then based on their HER2 expression, whether they have low expression or ultra-low expression, then we use antibody drug conjugates such as T-DXd and other systemic lines of therapy. Now, in those that are endocrine resistant, which means that these patients relapse during adjuvant treatment of breast cancer or less than 12 months of completion of adjuvant treatment of aromatase inhibitors, then the treatment algorithm will be based on the presence or absence of PIK3CA mutation and use of either inavolisib with fulvestrant and palbociclib is a first option of treatment or using an antibody drug conjugate.
Let's end on this. We're fortunate to have several classes of endocrine therapy for HR-positive, HER2-negative breast cancer, aromatase inhibitors, SERMs, SERDs, as we discussed. What does the future look like for these classes, and are there any others on the horizon?
Well, it's a very interesting era in the treatment of metastatic hormone receptor-positive, HER2-negative, or low-expressing breast cancer. We now have several options of therapies and are currently facing concerns with appropriate sequencing of these options in order to maximize positive outcomes for our patients. I think this is currently a good problem that we are dealing with and good for our patients that they have multiple choices of treatment for this particular subset of breast cancer.
Thank you very much, Dr. Atal. It's clear that breast cancer is a condition that continues to garner widespread attention in terms of therapeutic advances and where to place specific treatments in the personalized care of breast cancer. That is all the time we have for today. I would like to thank our expert, Dr. Sharmila Atal, for taking the time out of her day to speak with us today. And thanks to all of our listeners for joining us. Hopefully, you're able to tune in to our other podcasts in this series, in which we will explore additional topics in breast cancer. This podcast was brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I would also like to give a special thank you to our educational grant supporter, Lily, who provided an unrestricted educational grant for this activity. Thank you and have a great day.